back. Back live, broadcasting from the fabulous Fluoride Head Fortress, Auckland, New Zealand, in the sunny slave South Pacific nation. My remarkably special guest is Dana Louise Stewart. She's a filmmaker and producer and generally nice woman, and she knows a heck of a lot about good old-fashioned food. That's right. There's actually such a thing still left in this country called food, and it doesn't contain poison. And she, unlike all the rest of the stuff we ate. Dana, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Vinny. Great to be here.
Feeling cancerous lately?
No. I'm sure there's quite a few out there who do know.
And how did you accomplish not feeling cancerous?
How did I accomplish not feeling cancerous? Well, you find out what cancer is and what causes it, and you go in the opposite direction, Vinny.
Well, that sounds pretty straightforward. You'd figure doctors would be able to figure something out quite as simple, like, for example, stress and bad diet causes cancer, so stop getting stressed out and eating crap food. But no! Have a couple of pharmaceutical drugs that'll make you even sicker.
Yes, well, they would have you believe it's rocket science, but it certainly is not. You pick up an apple and you eat it. Perfect cure for cancer. And I will say that word because it annoys me immensely that someone is trying to stop and tell me how to live my life and tell me that I can and can't use certain words to protect other people's incomes. I have my own to protect.
Yeah. Well, and it was interesting. In fact, I was having a discussion along those lines the other day with, you know how they have these this new campaign to, I don't know, what was it, like shave your head for cancer, for child cancer or something? And I was like, well, mate, at what point does shaving your head cure cancer? And the other aspect is, even if you were doing it as a fundraising operation and walking around with buckets and stuff like that, the relatively insignificant amount that you will collect from a crowd, you know, possibly $100 or something, ain't going to fund any decent cancer research. And that's even if it was actually going to fund proper cancer research. The problem is a lot of these companies that front themselves as being, oh, we're getting donations to help people with cancer, we're helping all the children, when the reality is they're funded by pharmaceutical companies in the first place. Yeah. and they're just using them as fronts to basically promote cancer in a very roundabout way, of course, so that nobody would ever suspect, and so that the wonderful university educated student F-tards that we've got in this country won't suspect.
Oh, Vinny, I love your style. Yes, it's. I remember seeing that campaign and just thinking, how sad is that, that there's still people out there who don't realise what cancer is and what disease is, and that it doesn't take a rocket scientist to put two and two together, that diet and exercise and not stressing out are the best ways that you can change your life and to not live in this whole fear of cancer. I still can't get my head around that people, it's almost like they want to have all these negative things around. I think people are so used to feeling bad and not empowered that they just believe anything that they're told. Incredible.
Well, it's like the old quote says, you know, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And What do you think, Dana? Is that really what a good chunk of society has now become? These sort of rudderless automatons who just sort of follow whatever the status quo mofos decide to talk about.
Gosh, that sounds like a sci-fi fantasy, but it is actually very real. And unless people are ready, when you empower yourself by changing your diet and exercising, your whole entire body becomes this incredibly fit machine, and your thoughts actually change, and your whole consciousness develops and starts to work really clearly how it should have done in the first place. But when we're eating a lot of really high fat foods, processed, full of chemicals, it actually changes the chemical structure of your brain, and therefore the thoughts that you have are associated with that level of consciousness. So I can have a conversation with someone and you know, they'll be sick and they just don't get it because they're so far down the path that it's hard to wake them up to just feed them the basic knowledge of, hey, if you eat more fruit, more salad and more vegetables and go for a walk every day, you're going to, one, increase your lifespan by, you know, decades, and every day start to feel really good about yourself. And it's sad that a lot of people are addicted to disease. They're addicted to the attention that it brings. It's a very, very sad situation. But then there's a lot of people waking up as well and making really positive changes. So that's really promising.
Speaking of waking up, how did you actually wake up there, Dana?
How did I wake up? A friend of mine who I made my movie with, which is called Real and Raw, he had cancer, and I'd always wanted to know. My father died when I was 7 years old, and he died of a disease that hepatitis, and you know, it was a very sad situation, and I, my whole life, I was like, you know, why did he have to die and all these things? And if there was something that I could do to stop another child having to go through what I went through, then I needed to find that answer. So, you know, there's a couple of answers to that, and that was strength and determination. The determination to succeed and to find out what cancer was, what hepatitis is, what disease is. And if you ask the question, the answer will come to you. But people don't question anymore, Vinny. And it's one of the most amazing tools that we have is thought, and utilising our thoughts to create and bring about the changes and things that we want in our life. So I started going to seminars and listening to people who went, hey, do you know what? You can heal your body. And I followed the people who got results. I didn't follow the doctors because when I met and saw doctors, they were all the sickliest, hideous-looking bunch of characters around. And I thought, well, you know, if I follow you, I'm going to end up looking like you, and I'm quite happy with my six-pack and very sporty, healthy, sexy, feminine-looking body. And, I don't particularly want to not look like that. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, and it's a simple choice, right? Hey, do you want to be healthy and very good looking, or do you want to be really ill, really unhappy, and you don't even have to finish the question before you already know the answer. You know what I'm saying? But the problematic difficulty is that because people have been conditioned I don't know if it's even possible to escape being conditioned in some way by our environment in these days, because it's just so influential. Really, we're surrounded by toxins, both the kind of walking bipedal type toxic elements, and as well as, of course, almost everything that you walk into a supermarket and look at being either sprayed with them, packaged in them, or are comprised of nothing but toxins. You know what I'm saying? And if it is a goal of society to be happy, to be healthy, then it becomes patently obvious that we're failing quite miserably. Now, you were talking before about what are diseases and what are the tools? And when I think of diseases and when I think of tools, I think of the House of Parliament in New Zealand, full of a bunch of diseased tools.
That's correct. Yeah, very, very sad.
Yeah, and you've had some experience with talking to government officials. What do they think about your ideas of, you know, basically trying to prevent cancer by having a good diet and exercise?
Well, it's, you know, Vinny, it's not rocket science, but people get so involved in their own agendas and people have become so complicated. It's like I have this motto in my life, if it's complicated, you're going in the wrong direction. Life is a very simple design. If we go back to the geometry even of how our bodies are all designed and how the world is designed, you know, it is a very, very simple design. Our heads have become so complicated. And I personally believe that any politician should have to go through a rigorous training program of health, of diet and exercise before they're even allowed to sit as our governing body. People are so, so sick and obese and your thought processes do not function properly when you don't have the right diet and you're not exercising. And these people are meant to be role models. And I say, shame on them. Absolutely disgusted in our politicians and the fact that they are role models for our children. You go back to when I was at school. I'm 36 years old now. There was probably one overweight child in the whole school. Now you're a minority if you are of a normal size. You know, I think our politicians are failing us, and I think we should fire them all. You know, but aside from that, people need to take responsibility for their own lives and stop blaming other people as well, and get off our couches and stop going to McDonald's and eating high fat foods. And learning about the absolutely amazing things you can do to change your life by changing your diet and exercising and building muscle. We were actually meant to have muscle.
Well, you know, and this is the thing. When we look at our politicians, I mean, let's take the biggest of the bunch. Jerry Brownlee, our Christchurch earthquake minister. Now, I'm 6'5" and just under 100 kilos. And he's like, I don't know, 5'9", and he must be pushing 140, 150 kilos. Like, the man is gargantuan, you know? Mm-hmm. And whenever I see, you know how in the press clubs and stuff like that, when they go into lunch lady rooms or cafes or whatever to meet the voters and all of that, I mean, when Jerry Brownlee walks in, they're like, oh, Minister, would you like us to whip you up half a dozen pies? and it's just like, well, what comes to mind for me is not just the fact that he looks really disgusting, it's more the fact that because he is so unhealthy, it means that his brain is not functioning properly, right? Which would explain a lot of National Party policy.
As far as I'm concerned, the stronger your body becomes, and the more muscle that you build and the healthier that you are, the more confident you are, and you're not actually, life becomes very, very simple. And when I look at someone who's extremely overweight, it means that, you know, they have serious emotional issues and holding on to baggage and storing stuff and not able to deal with stuff in a really healthy, energizing kind of a way. You know, our whole society should be built around having the healthiest, fittest people on the planet, so that we cut our the amount of spending that we put onto the sick system. It's not a health system, it's a sick system, because if you're healthy, you have to take that into your own hands. No one helps you to get healthy in this country. But if you're sick, you can go and you can get thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars spent on you. And, yes, I'm just looking at some photos of Jerry Brownlee on the internet, and the guy needs a serious health makeover. Absolutely.
Well, you know, speaking of people who have serious health makeovers, Rodney Hyde. Now, he actually did undergo a remarkable transformation, in no small part to his Dancing with the Stars debut. And as a result of getting lots of exercise and dieting correctly, and the same with Peter Jackson, you know, these are the two famous people that have lost copious quantities of weight, and they look much better. And I'm not sure. I haven't spoken to them since they've lost all their weight to ask whether or not they're happier or feeling better. But it's pretty self-evident that they must be because that's the direct result, you know. And as I think about it, what we have as a government should really more be similar to the transformation that these guys have been going through, shedding off those excess pounds, shedding off that negativity, and becoming fit fighting machines that have as little waste as possible. But if I were to classify the government, it would be about 180 degrees from what I just said.
Yes. I just think if someone has the strength of mind to set a health goal, then that can be applied to all areas of their life. But if you don't have the strength of mind to say, actually, I care enough about myself to lose the weight, to build muscle, to eat healthy, then are you going to make those decisions for the country as well? No, and I think people need to start and stand up for themselves and say, hey, do you know what? These are the two most important things that our country needs to be focused on, and stop living in fear. People are so, oh, I can't change my diet. I can't do this. I can't do that. Cut the word can't out of your life and start changing your mind. Your mind is a very, very powerful thing. Since I changed my diet and focused on building muscle and not doing just straight cardio, which is one of the biggest mistakes that people go when they go to the gym or start exercising, they just do cardio. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to lose weight, if you want to tone up, start building muscle. The more muscle that your body has, the faster your metabolism goes. You can actually eat more. I eat 3,000 calories a day some days. I can stuff my face all day. And if you go to my website, danaLouiseStewart.com, you'll see photos of me and how fit and healthy I am. I can walk into headstands. I can do all this incredible, incredible stuff with my body. But ever since I changed my diet and started eating fruit, which is a carbohydrate, which is a simple sugar, which is glucose, which is what our body runs on. Now, no one tells us this at school. So it's straightforward knowledge that people don't understand what we're actually designed to eat. We're designed to eat fruit, salad, and vegetables.
Yeah. Yeah, well, this is the thing that has been lost on people, and this is due in no small part, in my opinion, to the huge quantity of fast food and processed foods that seem to just invade the world's food supply after World War II, after these big companies spent gazillions of dollars creating all these freeze-dried products to keep the troops alive while they were away from civilization, fighting and killing others, and now they're here and they're killing us. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest is Dana Louise Stewart.
I got some so-called friends. Smile right to my face. All when my back is turned. They like to bury me without a trace. Oh, no, no. Oh, no, no. There's only one thing I need to know. Who's that? Are you on?
Welcome back, ladies and gents, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Broadcasting live from the future, from the fabulous fluoride head capital, Auckland, New Zealand, in the slave South Pacific Island nation. My very special guest is Dana Louise Stewart. In fact, you've got a number of websites, danaLouiseStewart.com, and there's also realandraw.com, and what was the other one?
Fruit for Our Children.
Yeah. Now, we were speaking about Jerry Brownlee before. You know how he's become like the sort of the Christchurch Quake Minister? I rationalise that they put him in that position because he knows how they feel, or rather his wife really does, after being crushed every night. Hopefully the broadcasting standards authority doesn't receive a complaint for that one. In fact, actually, I would relish the opportunity to defend myself in court over an accusation like that, come to think of it. I'm so cruel, but he deserves it. Now, speaking of real crushing defeat and all of that kind of jazz, you made the film Real and Raw with Matthew Wilson and, incidentally, my somewhat fabulous producer, Mitch Santel. You've travelled all over the States and visiting a lot of raw foodists and things of that nature. What was that all like?
Oh, it was fabulous. We had a fantastic time, met some really great people. And however, I've come to realise that a lot of people in the raw food movement are actually still on the same agenda of promoting themselves, the whole ego-based mentality that is leading people up the garden path. I just want to give people a few small tips that they can add some really cool stuff into their daily lives and make a massive difference. You know, if you're tired, if you want to remain disease free, if you want to be around to see your great great grandchildren, or even your children have children nowadays, if you want to extend your life and vitality in it, you can start adding fruit into your diet. Now, I some days eat 20 bananas a day. We were designed to eat fruit, and people say, oh, won't you overload on potassium or this, that, and everything else? And I'm like, no, you don't. We were designed to eat fruit. I mean, you don't have to be as extreme as what I am. People go, oh, you're extreme, you're a vegan. And I'm like, no, you're extreme. Look at the extreme that society has gone to provide you with the food that you're eating. My bananas grow in the backyard, mate. Like, you know, I pull them off a tree. They make you look super sexy. Have you ever seen a lady who's got a hot body eating bananas? Pay money, lots of money to have women like that in their magazines and stuff. I'm like, I say to men, help your wives, help your girlfriends to be the best that she can be by encouraging her to eat fruit. And men, you want to eat bananas too, because the law of signatures states that eat bananas and you...
You get an improvement in your nether regions, shall we say.
Yes. Yeah, correct. Yeah.
It's always the kind of subject we like to discuss on this show. Go ahead, sorry.
Organic bananas. I actually get 18 kilos of bananas delivered to my house by the wonderful guys at So Good Bananas, the organic fair trade bananas that are now in supermarkets. And they're pretty fascinated by my lifestyle and what I'm doing. So 18 kg a week, people, that's what I go through. And you can't eat ever. You can never eat too much fruit. You can't get fat on fruit. And if you want to have energy for your workouts, to hang out with the kids, to increase your concentration, to every area of your life, be fruitful. Eat more fruit.
Be fruitful. Eat more fruit. Sounds simple enough. And what the interesting thing is that people think that their health is a complicated affair, right? Mm. Don't you find that really ironic? Because it's actually been quite simple for quite some time. And I think that the medical profession has tried their dangdest to try and ensure that just like the, what's it called, just like the Catholic Church kept information out of everybody's hands by making sure that all the things were only written in Latin, which nobody spoke, so therefore they kept the power, they kept the information. Mm-hmm. And nowadays, not entirely dissimilar to how the medical profession is treating the rest of us, they've got all these words to describe medical conditions, which incidentally are all Latin, and they try to make sure that people don't comprehend what's going on. And I think this is a very smart move on the medical professionals' part because they're the third leading cause of death, according to the Ministry of Health.
Yes. Well, it's not... you know, you're told, you are told by your doctor to eat, you know, to eat more fruit. Well, why not eat a lot more fruit? You know, it is, it should be the major part of our diet. And a lot of people are so addicted to their favorite foods. They're like, oh, there's no way I'm giving up my steak or whatever. And I'm like, well, don't give it up. Just add some stuff in there. And if you can't cope with that right now, but you can still cope with waking up and having, don't eat anything else but fruit until lunchtime. Easy, you know, give that to yourself. Love yourself enough to you know, to do that. There's not one person that doesn't want to feel healthier, to look better, to have more energy, to have better sex drive. You know, all this dysfunction in our society is directly related to what we're putting in our bodies, and we need to wake up.
We're being rather foolish, aren't we? And I think it's like one of the, again, the conditioning. It's sort of like a... It's not chicken and egg, was it? It's a circular kind of argument, right? Like, we're all fat because we don't know our nutrition properly, and we stay fat because we become dumber because our nutrition's improper. You know, it's like this. It's like we're on a. I wouldn't call it a hamster wheel, because a hamster wheel has a cage on one side but not on the other, so that the hamster can get on and off the wheel, sort of thing. It's more like a hamster ball, where we can move around randomly everywhere, but we can't actually make contact. We can't get out of the ball, and that's basically what our society is now. It's this big ball that we can't get out of, and the government's trying to legislate away people's individual choice, like the choices that you're making, you know, whether or not you want to make green smoothies or have organic bananas and all of that kind of jazz. You know, that's all fair and well, but playing devil's advocate for a minute, I mean, HR 510, I think it was, in the United States, the Food Safety Modernization Act, makes it illegal to have an organic garden in your own home. And a guy got fined $5,000 for doing such. Oh, mate, he wished he didn't have that broccoli. And if that kind of thing can happen in the US, my thoughts are that it will happen here. And, in fact, the legislation's already underway, most likely. It's probably already written, copied and pasted, most probably. And, yeah, that's my understanding of it anyway, is that if people do figure out that they can take control of their own health, government I wouldn't say government, New World Order, basically, and their various puppets in our government, then just suddenly get their signals up and just go, oop, we've got to clamp down on that, you know, because we can't have healthy thinking people in this society, because then we won't be able to run it all like our own little criminal sandpit in the playpen.
Yeah, I always, because I lead such a healthy, energetic life, I find it very surprising when I hear this stuff again, that people are so, to have to control somebody else and to impose your way of life onto somebody else means that you're an incredibly weak individual, and a very sad one at that. Self-empowerment, people, you have to empower yourself. Repeat after me, I am the most powerful person that I know. Claim your power, claim your individualism. As soon as everybody does that, and you know, get out, go for a walk. The best cure for depression is exercise. Go for a walk. Everyone feels good. You go out, you get your fresh air, you talk to your neighbour. This is not about the government controlling us. This is about us controlling us. And as soon as people recognise how powerful the individual is, and then the collective whole, wow, what a world we can live in.
Seeing possibilities is the one thing that I think kind of sets us apart, right? Because we're patriotic, because we care, to put it bluntly, because we care and because we can try and find solutions as a result, we're very difficult to control, and therefore we're very dangerous to those who wish to control us, right? And the difficulty is that, I don't know, have you actually felt this before? I certainly know I have. You kind of get these spurs of hate And they come from you to all the others. Like, you know, if you talk to some fluoride head slave who's like real unhealthy or whatever, and you tell them decent information that can quite likely improve, if not save, their life, and they treat you like you're some description of pariah. and you wind up hating them. And I find myself trying to restrain how I feel a lot of the times, because I don't like that sort of emotional sort of, you know, somebody's just being a complete ass. Oh, I hate that person. I don't like that. And I try as I may. There's still so many people to be angry with, you know. But I don't have to be angry with them. Have you experienced this?
Well, I now use humor and I use fun, because to hate and all those things, what people don't realize is, you know, that affects your own health and well-being. And if I tell my friends, hey, if I'm ever behaving seriously, can you please slap me? Having fun is part of the fundamentals of life. Fundamental means to have fun with the mind of God. We are the most powerful thing that there is, yet we have not claimed that. And how do you claim that? You have fun with life. Who doesn't like having fun? Go to a comedy show, lighten up. And you know, we get so involved in this whole agenda and other people's ways. Hey, create your own way. I'm currently designing my own label of female sportswear, which is incredibly elegant. It's very sexy. And when you see women wearing my clothes, you're going to wonder why on earth they've ever shopped at, you know, the Rebel Sports and all these other places, because, as you may know, we are moving into a more feministically run society, which is why all the male structures, the masculine structures, and this isn't about male and female, this is about feminine and masculine behaviours, all the masculine structures are falling down, and we are looking towards a more grounded, nurturing, caring society. And so I took the bull by the horns and saw a niche in the marketplace and went, hey, no one's designing elegant sportswear for women. Hey, I'm going to do that. So what I'm saying is, find your passion, find something to do that's positive. And the more you put wood on the fire, the
well, you kind of cut out there a bit, Dana. Dana, are you there? We appear to have lost her. We'll try and bring her back up in a moment. But moving on from this, the health industry, and I'm talking about the real health industry, there's somebody who comes up to you and says, hey, do you want to actually be healthy and not have to pay copious quantities of money to enormous, disgusting pharmaceutical companies that'll just make you sicker? Here's some advice. And the advice is free. But the healing is not free because you have to take responsibility for it. In my opinion, anything that requires work isn't free, right? Which, you know, for the fundamentally means that nothing's free, because anything that's worth having is something you have to work for, you know? And that's what personal responsibility is all about. The reason why everybody's so sick, so deluded, so insane, and I believe this is self-evident, is because they've abdicated their responsibility. They think that because there's a government who makes decisions, that means I don't have to make any decisions for myself anymore. And that just doesn't sit right with me. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you by GorillaMedia.co.nz. Back in a moment.